Listen, read, then listen again. Hey, it's Drew from 99.3 Moose FM, West Nipissing's best music, and welcome to another special edition of Fascinating People. I say special because we're kind of on a deadline here. I saw an event coming up in West Nipissing, specifically at Twigs in Sturgeon Falls. A local author is going to be doing a book signing. Her name is Anne Danielle, and the more I looked into her, she has her own website, the more I was fascinated. And the thought that came into my mind, she needs to be on Fascinating People. I reached out, she said yes, and here we go. Sometimes it is just that easy. But maybe I don't catch these book signings or these events, and I don't find you. But you are fascinating and deserve to be on this show. Send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. Tell me about yourself or your friend, your mother, your father, your uncle, your best friend since childhood. Somebody that you know is fascinating, deserves to be on this program, just haven't had the opportunity. I put the ball in your court, like I did with Anne Danielle, musician, author, teacher, fascinating. Let's say hello to Anne.
I'd like to say hello to everybody in West Nipissing and the environment in...
Entire
West
environment
Nipissing,
of the entire world.
The environment
world.
Of the world, yes. Hello, everybody.
We're all part of soil, is what I hear.
Yes, we are.
Well, then, let's start off right the bat. I usually start with three questions just to kind of get a base idea of who we're speaking with today. Mm-hmm. So first off, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Sturgeon Falls.
Born and raised.
Born and raised. I've been here all my life, and it is the most beautiful little town, I think, in the world.
Okay, now I gotta ask, why do you say that?
It's the people. The people that make us such a diverse community. We have heart, we have soul, and we are, I think, the best little town in the world.
So then, what was, while growing up, your goal? Like, it might not be the one that you've achieved now, but mm-hmm. when you were a child, what did you see yourself wanting to do in the future?
I had a huge bucket list, but...
well, we got time. This is a 30-minute talk,
exactly.
So let's go through it. Let's empty that bucket.
Well, I wanted to be a music teacher, so check.
So, like, at the young age, you decided I want
at
to teach
the young
music?
Age, yes, I wanted to be a music teacher. I knew I was going to be a teacher when I was 4 years old. And then I wanted to write books and have them published. So check. And I wanted to travel the world and go see what's out there. So I've been doing that also. So it's...
I was going to say, that's actually my third question is mm-hmm. you were born and raised in Sturgeon, but where have you gone? Like, so you've traveled the world. Tell us a little bit about what you've experienced.
Well, you know, when you're young, you go to Toronto and you go to Ottawa. And so I studied in Ottawa and then... I caught the bug of travel maybe a few years ago. My husband convinced me to finally take a plane. So we flew out to Jasper and I fell in love with the Rockies. So we've been going to the Rockies. I think it's pretty steady. The past 12 years, once a year we go to the Rockies and we've also been to the States. And this summer I went to Paris. So that was my fourth time to Paris.
All right. So what what drew you back there?
I'm not sure. I think I belong there. I think my other life must have been lived there at one point. I just love it. I love the people. I like the culture. I like the music. So I went to explore that this summer.
Nice. Well, let's then go back in time, back to when you were a child. So you had these goals of music teacher and author. Let's start with the music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going through school, what kind of pulled you towards music?
Well, I was a little special child, if you want.
We call that artistic.
Artistic. It was special. I didn't know back then, but I have autism also. So I had perfect pitch. And anything that was vaguely, remotely...
sharp or flat.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it, right? Anything that had to do with music, if they needed someone to play piano for a song, or I was always there. So I started taking piano lessons when I was, I think, 4. And it went on from there. I used to play at church on Sundays. I used to get out of, you know, getting regular church. I'd go play with the choir, so I would do that. And then in high school, you know, did the regular shows and everything. And then I went to university and did 4 years in Ottawa and studied music and came back home. And life took a little different turn.
How so?
Well, I became pregnant when I was in teacher's college. So that sort of put a little dent in my plans because I wanted to be a teacher right off the bat. So what happened is my oldest son was diagnosed with autism. So I had to stay at home for a while and help him with his therapies. But I had my piano teaching studio at home. So for 3 years I did that. I had 78 students. And then I went to teach in high school, and the rest is history.
So then how did the high school position become available? Was it just it popped up, you put in a resume and then apply? Like, how does one become a music teacher after graduating the music course?
You know, we're just a few music teachers in the region, so someone has to actually leave their position for another position for us to be able to get in. So my mentor actually had another opportunity. She became principal. So when that happened, I was able to just go into her position. I applied for it and I got it and became the music teacher.
So what has been some highlight? How long have you been a music teacher?
I'm no longer a music teacher.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not. No.
Are you retired?
I wish. No, I'm not retired. I'm too young. I'm not even 50. Oh,
that's why I was surprised.
I know. But now I teach in North Bay and I'm in a specialized classroom where I worked with children with exceptionalities, and I absolutely love them. But I was a music teacher for about 10 years, and then I thought it was time to move on to something. So I explored special education, and I found my passion in there. I thought music was my thing, but really it's working with children who have special talents and who need help to develop them.
So then what have been some of your crowning memories, the stuff that sticks out to you since that change, now that you're doing special education? Is that how
mm-hmm.
it's
special education? Crowning successes, my goodness, every day's a crowning success when you take a look at how your students are acting and learning. Little moments become really huge sometimes, like writing their name on a line or asking for help. But I think me helping set up the Center for Autism at Algonquin School in North Bay was like probably one of the biggest highlights of my career.
So what is that?
At the time, what it was a drop-in center where we accompanied, I think the word would be, accompanied students on the autism spectrum through their...
Oh, accommodated.
Yeah, exactly. And accompanied them also throughout their days to find strategies on how to handle regular life, so life skills.
So what does it take to build that program then? So it started from nothing and you just mm-hmm. said, I'm going to build this?
There was funding at the time in the province, and it takes patience and it takes knowledge, right? So I'm a person on the spectrum, and I have a son who's also on the spectrum of autism. And along with the education I have in the background and the special courses, we were able to put that together. So that was really special.
Wonderful. So taking a little backtrack to music once again. Mm-hmm. So you found your passion, but you slowly moved to a different passion with special ed, but music never really left.
No. I still write and I still compose. I've composed a few songs and they're actually on YouTube. They're not huge hits, but I usually compose for causes. So I wrote a song for Huntington's, and back in the day, I don't know if you remember this, but we had the Relay for Life. So I had composed the song, and it was arranged by one of my cousins. And the song went through Canada, so it was like almost like a theme song for the Relay for Life. And then we did one for autism also. And my latest one, which I recorded with some of my music students at Algonquin, was the Remember Adam theme song.
I didn't know that that cause actually had a theme song.
It does. Yes, it does.
Well, the beauty of audio is now I'm going to play a little clip right here.
Mm-hmm. Je suis assis sur un nuage. He's watching over you today.
Remember me. And then I'll leave a full link in the description so that people can actually go in and hear the whole thing themselves.
That would be great.
Now, I don't want to interrupt this conversation, but now I really want to hear mm-hmm. it for myself.
Yeah, it's really special because when we did the premiere of the song, Adam's mom was there, so she heard it firsthand, and then we it was published everywhere. So yeah,
that's wonderful. So is that all you create music for, is causes? Or
sometimes what I do is I'll just sit at the piano and I'll just record what comes through, and I just let it be, and then I just post it online and we see what happens with that. So
maybe some spark of creativity comes in.
Exactly.
Oh, those two notes sound good together.
Let's exactly see. So a lot of the kids say, if I give you these three notes, can you do something with this? And I'm like, sure I can. So it's almost like improv, and then I record them as I go and we see what comes up.
Do you teach still at this on your own time now, or is that?
No, I don't have time to teach music, but maybe when I retire. Yeah, probably. We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's always the mindset of, like, if I retire.
Well, it's probably when I change chapters, right? When I do something else, because I can't see myself retiring.
And speaking of chapters, perfect way to segue into our next topic is the writing. So mm-hmm. as a child, you sought to create music, and like you said, you succeeded.
Yep.
And now there are books, plural, as I understand.
There are three books.
Three, okay. Yes. I was only able to actually find two mm-hmm. in my own research. So let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about the first book.
Yes, The Old Man on the Bench.
This is the first book.
Is the first book.
And okay.
There are two in the series so far, and it's going to be a series of five books. And I released the first one last year, and I just released this newest one, A Beautiful Day, a few weeks ago, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start with the Old Man on the Bench. So what is this book? Is it fiction, nonfiction, spirituality? What is it?
I think it's a little bit of everything. I lead an interesting life.
I've gathered that as much.
I live an interesting life, and I meet people on my journey, and I learn lessons from what's going on around me. So I noticed that every time something would go, I don't know, wrong, but I don't know if wrong is the word.
Off path.
There was always someone who would show up, and I would learn something from them. So I started writing about it, really, in a blog. And I'd say, oh, I went here and so-and-so told me this. And then I heard, well, it's almost like the universe is speaking to you. So I called the universe the old man, right? So through different adventures and different journeys that I take throughout my days, I learn lessons and I'm sharing them with people.
Is this series of five, like, five different lessons?
It'll be a series of five different books. Like, the first one was mostly, I spoke a lot about my brother's stroke, because he had a stroke, and we talked about his rehabilitation and people on our journey for that. And then the second one is lessons I learned from my students and people around me. And the third one's going to be a compilation of people's stories. So people often tell me, you know, I read your book, and I have an old man story. I'm like, oh,
it brought me to this time.
Exactly. So I'm going to try to share that and with the people. So I put out
you reached out.
I reached out to the community, and I'm going to try to do this one in French. So I reached out to the Franco-Ontarian community saying, I'm going to be writing Le Vieil Homme sur le Banc, and if you have stories, contact me. So people have started contacting me, and I'm going to be writing that one in French.
So that one is in French. The rest so far are in English?
Yeah, exactly. They're in English so far.
Why the transition?
Well, as you can hear, I'm a francophone,
yes,
right? And I really, really like writing in French. It's not the same feeling. It's almost like it's natural for me to want
French
to.
French is your first language?
It is my first language. And I wanted something really special to be able to talk about. So I said, after the first two, maybe I should concentrate on that. So that's what I'm going to be doing.
You think that's going to take for four and five as well?
I don't know yet.
You don't know? The four and five are still kind of up in the air.
The four and five are just, I know the cover colors, what color they're going to be, and I know what they're going to look like, but I have no idea what the content's going to be yet.
Okay, so now I'm curious, because my understanding is your first book, The Old Man on the Bench, is kind of green with a round bench.
Yep.
The second one's A Beautiful Day, is that right?
The one's A Beautiful Day, and the cover is blue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. So your third one, where this people come to you with their stories in French,
will be green. And do you see the correlation?
I'm starting to feel,
yes,
where you're coming from.
Because the Franco-Ontarian colors are white and green, so it'll be green. And then my fourth one will be red, burgundy. And my last one will be black. And then I'll be done. The series will be done.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about then your writing process. So, pardon the comparison, but my first thought was like chicken soup for the soul, kind,
yep,
of that spirituality,
exactly,
essence. So what is your writing process when you're considering, like, okay, lessons from the universe, lessons, mm-hmm, from the day, and lessons from people? How do you put those into your own words?
I sit and I just write what I feel, and it's almost sometimes like a verbatim recollection of a moment that occurred. You know, so I'll write about something that happened during the day, and I'll say, as I was sitting at my desk on a sunny Saturday afternoon, and then I start writing. And I just write, it's almost like a little story you can read, and you can actually picture where people are and what's going on. And then at the end, I always finish with, the old man reminds me that, right? So through that story that I said, and it's usually a page and a half, maybe, I always put the lesson so that people can go and check, oh, that's the lesson that I learned from this little story.
Okay, so you do a novella, and,
exactly,
then at the end, you're like, this is what I gained from it. And then when okay, and then they can go back with that perspective.
Exactly.
Kind of like how you write music, in a sense.
That's exactly what it is, but it's in words. Yeah, right? And sometimes I'll put like bench moments, because I always compare, if you sit down on a bench and you listen to what's going around you, you're going to learn some insight from something or somewhere. So it's always like a bench moment. So what do you learn from just sitting and being still? So that's what I write.
When you first agreed to do this, one of my main questions was, a lot of people grow up saying, I want to write. And then when they start, sometimes it doesn't feel for them, but sometimes they just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is considering, like, they have an idea in their mind of something they want to put between covers, but just need that extra push, how could you relay that experience to somebody that just needs that extra push?
I was really, really lucky because my husband's extremely supportive. So for years, he's been hearing about my plans, right? I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to do this. So last year or the year before, he says, this is the year you're doing it. You're going to put together your ideas, and you're going to put together your little stories that you've compiled in years, and journals and little pieces of paper. And says, you're going to sit down and you're going to do it. And you're going to give yourself a timeline to do it. So if you give yourself a deadline, sometimes it helps, because you can have the best dreams, but unless you write them and they become a goal, that's what they stay. They just evaporate. And then you look at time and you're like, I was supposed to do this 5 years ago. And then 5 years has gone by, right? So I like to put objectives and say, I'm going to be done by this time. And I know I'm not going to respect it. So I always, if I'm going to do something for summer, I know it'll be ready in winter because I procrastinate. But I still have goals, right?
So then you've got your deadline, and that motivates you to, mm-hmm, finish the book. You've edited as much as you can.
Exactly.
What is this self-published, your mm-hmm, novels? How does that work?
I found this incredible self-publishing company, Balboa Press, and the reason I went with them is because they're associated with one of the publishing houses. I read a lot of self-help books and spirituality, and it's the self-publishing division of this company. So I went with them, and one of my friends had also used the services, and she says, you'll be really satisfied. So I said, okay, I'll try it. And sure enough, the process is really seamless. It's easy to get your things done, and the product is what you have.
So you mentioned spirituality. Mm-hmm. Something I did want to bring up when I perused your website is you offer, and I don't want to say counseling, but you offer spirituality insight.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through a little bit of that. Like, what are the services that you offer?
Well, first of all, I'm a Reiki master, so I offer Reiki.
What is Reiki?
Reiki is just sort of channeling energy to help people balance their energies. And if you're feeling tired or you're not feeling well, it's just a way to rebalance someone's energy, because I believe in energy centers. And So I work on that, but my services are mostly, it started off as fun, and it was, I would get, it's almost like I get little movies in my head, or I get insights or intuition, and I'm able to just, for fun, of course, because some people base their lives on that, but not me, it's for fun, I'll just say, I think this could be happening, and this is what's going on in your life right now. So people come to me and they're like, well, tell me what you see. So it's like a little movie running through my head, and I'll tell them what I see and what I hear, and we start from there.
So an outside perspective.
Exactly.
One other thing I'd like to bring up was your book signing happening at Twigs. Well, you know what? Let's go into that just a little bit. What is happening? This will be out on Friday. So what's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow at Twigs, from 11 till 1, I will be there with my book, The Old Man on the Bench. And my artist, Leo Levac, is going to be there also, because people just love his bench that he drew and he signs it. And I'm also going to have one of my best friends, because we joined in a collaboration book with 20 other authors. And we are launching that book at the same time.
That's when Angels Speak.
That's right.
A collaboration. Mm-hmm. What was the goal of that? What is this collaboration?
The collaboration in this particular book is all about how angels manifest themselves in our lives. If you look around, what kind of messages you can get from the universe, and it's just different little stories of individuals saying, "This happened to me," and this occurred when I was sick, or I've seen this, or I've seen that. It's just people telling their stories about angels.
And that's 20 different authors telling their stories?
22 authors.
22.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the goal of that then?
It's just for people to be aware that in something very simple, sometimes there can be something really divine around them. It's how you choose to perceive moments.
So then my mind goes from your third book, where you're grabbing a bunch of stories from the Francophone community, and this one, mm-hmm. where you're gathering stories. How are they separate? How are they each unique?
I'm hoping that it'll be unique, because people are still very shy about sharing the stories, and I think that people are getting more comfortable with me in sharing these stories. So when I put the compilation together, I'll try to put a common thread, sort of put the old man thread in there, a little taste, a little feeling, if you want.
So the stories in your book will be a little more connected, while these ones are
exactly
a little more from different experiences.
That's exactly what it is, and it's for people around the world in that collaboration book. So there'll be it's mostly women across the world that came together and just wrote, whereas I'm going to be making personal connections with the people who were agreeing to share their stories with us.
Because you're reaching out to them for a reason.
Exactly.
So that, how does this happen then? 22 people from around the world come together to make one book. How did that start?
Facebook is a wonderful thing, yes. And it's social media has just exploded over the past few years. So it was just the friend of a friend who sent me a link and said, "You should write something in there." So I looked at it and I said, "Okay, let's do it." So that's how it became.
So you just joined this thing that had already started. They welcomed you with open arms.
They did, yep.
Was there just one governing body that compiled it all together?
Mm-hmm. What happens is there's a publisher, and she also has her own publishing house. So she goes through and we edit our things, and then she puts the whole...
The collection?
The collection, thank you. I was looking for the word. She puts the collection and she sees what order it should be in and what reads better. And then she takes care of everything else for us. So it's kind of nice. It's nice.
We're doing this a little last minute to your signing, which is probably the best way people can come and check out the books. But if they can't make it tomorrow, what are some other ways that they can pick these up?
I'm very excited to say that in our community, you can buy it in Sturgeon, Intercity Home Accents. Mm-hmm. We sell it there. And there's some also at the flea market, because Lynn and Serge have offered me to be able to give them to people there. So, you can buy them there. And they're also on Amazon if you want to go online or get the Kindle version. The Kindle version is also available. So
you've covered all your bases then.
I have, yes. It's very exciting.
So then... your goal is to write the other two books. Is there anything else in your future that you're working towards, whether it be your special ed class or these two novels, something we haven't already touched? Like, what's next for Anne?
Well, I'm writing these books of the old man, but I'm also completing... It started off as a novel, but it's more like a short story. I'm going to have like a short story collection in French, and it's an autofiction. So that's why I went to Paris. I went to live what it's like to be in Paris, just to bring that little color in my writing. So that's going to be going on. And I'm also working on a book on autism.
It's cool. Like an educational one?
Educational one, and more like a sort of autobiography. And it's going to be penned, it's going to be named The Sassy Aspie. So that's me. And
What's Aspie mean?
Aspie is the short term for Asperger's.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's exciting for me because I have one of the most recognized, world-renowned psychologists in autism is going to be writing the foreword for that one. So I'm really excited about that one. So,
holy jumping. So how long have you been working on that now?
Oh, forever, I guess. Yeah. It's a lifetime, right? So it's going to be sort of like an autobiography. So it'll be my experiences growing up and going through school. So, but as the manuscript goes, it's been going on for about 2 years.
All right. One last question I had for you. I love your tattoos.
Thank you.
And I know you were talking about Paris. I can see the Eiffel Tower on your arm. What is the story behind? I always love these. There's always a story behind people's different tattoos. So if you wouldn't mind, going through a few of them.
I'm tattooed my full arms. This arm is actually, I'm talking about my left arm because you can't see it. I'm pointing
when you're at
right
the
now.
Book signing.
Yeah,
you'll see.
You'll see it. It's there. But it says Sacha Journal, and this is the story of my my novel, which is actually set in Paris. So it's all about. It's the main character writing in her journal, Sacha Journal. So you'll see the Eiffel Tower, and the book is called Le Temps des Pissenlits, which is a dandelion seed. Dandelion seeds going in the wind, and it represents going to the past and everything. And I also have like the Infinity Knot, which a friend drew for me, and you know, just a few little things. And on my other arm, I have books that are really important to me. So Le Petit Prince is there, and I also have Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which was my dad's favorite novel that we read together. So my artist did that for me.
And what was the your forearm? Sorry,
this one.
Yes,
is Le Petit Prince, the Little Prince.
Oh yes, that was my my best friend's favorite book growing up.
Everyone should read that. If you don't have it, go find it today.
Have you seen the movie?
Not yet.
It made me cry.
Did it?
I've read the book. I've seen the movie. It is a perfect adaptation.
I have to watch that.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
And we hope to see you tomorrow.
Yes, I hope to see you too.